He's so good. I've just been experiencing, you have those moments where you experience his presence really strong and abnormally strong and real. I've been having that the last few hours. And so could we just, I just feel like I want us just to worship for just a minute. We don't need any musicians, do we? We don't need those musicians. We got a musician right here with our vocal cords, right? And would you just lift your hands all over this place? Because we're just inviting the goodness of God all over this place. Could you just lift your voice and just say yes to your goodness filling the room? Come on, all over this place. We just welcome the goodness of God. We welcome the goodness of God. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. Can we just say it out loud? You are so good. We welcome the goodness of God in this room. We welcome the Father heart of God in this room today. We welcome the kindness of heaven in this place, dispelling every lie in Jesus' name. And we lift up our voices in this place and just welcome the goodness. We welcome the presence. We invite the manifest presence of God in the room right now. You are so close and you are so here. And we invite you even now all over this place. We just say, we're here for you. We didn't come for anything else. We came for you. We came for you. We came for you. We came for you. Whew. Yeah. Because you are good. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. So we invite you and all your goodness here to just be the main thing. To be the main thing. Be the main thing right now. Be the main thing. Be the center of this moment. We want to be undistracted and unhindered by anything and everything else. We welcome you, be the main thing. I welcome you to be the main thing. I invite you to be the main thing. I welcome you to be the central desire of my heart right now. Jesus, you are the desire of my heart. You are the desire of my life. And I welcome you. I welcome you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Pastor Gary sent me a text and he's in Zimbabwe still, and there's lots happening there with the election. And he texted me that martial law was declared Thursday, and it's just some real intense stuff going on. And he's preaching all day today. I get there 7 hours ahead, so probably most of his preaching is done. But could we just pray over him just for 1 minute, and then I'll get to what the Lord's given me. Father, I just ask that you would anoint our pastor today. For whatever he has before him left in this day, we ask for a fresh anointing. We ask for the presence of Jesus to literally be in the room where he is. We ask God for rest to be upon him. We ask that he would bring the peace of heaven into a very tumultuous time and situation in that country. We thank you that he hears your voice. We thank you that he carries your word. And we ask God that it would come in power today through him. In Jesus' name, we ask for protection over him. In Jesus' name, in the middle of what's going on around him, God, we ask that the kingdom of God would advance mightily through him. That literally through him, your kingdom would advance as all that's going on in Zimbabwe right now. And we ask for a fresh anointing over him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, protection, physical protection over him and the church and the people there. And we prayed in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Man, the last couple of weeks, it's been such a joy to talk with you. And today, I'm excited about what the Lord has. And I just wanted to recap a little bit in a different way about what we've been talking about over these last couple of weeks. And I'm just brought to this reality, and it's such a simple reality, but we live in this world. How many live in this world? But we represent another. We represent another. When we become born again, when we become believers, we enter an actual whole new life. We enter a whole new life. It's not just a little prayer we pray, but we actually enter into a whole new identity, a whole new way of living, and we become citizens of another kingdom, and we become alive for the purposes of heaven. We literally, the reason for living changes. The focus of identity, the focus of where we spend all of our energies and our lives change when we come into the kingdom. How many have come in to the kingdom? It changes. It shifts. Everything changes. Before, we live for ourselves. Now, we live and we move and we have our being in Him. We live and we move and we have our entire being now in Jesus. In Him. We don't spend it on ourselves. We live it in Him. Bringing His reality now is the focus of my life to my reality. So we're shifting our thinking, right? The church is shifting. We're shifting our thinking. We're shifting. The last couple of weeks have been about shifting my mindset, shifting my expectation. Shifting my expectation to literally see that every place that I step, I bring Him. Every place that I go, every step that I take becomes a place where the ability for Him to invade is there because I'm there. That's vision, church. That is a vision. That's how kingdom people think. That's how kingdom people live. Because I'm there, He's there. What if we didn't even have to like fight sin and all the stuff that we don't want to do? What if we just lived from a place of saying, hey, if I'm here, I'm here to bring Him. And I'm here to represent Him. And if I'm representing Him, then I can't even live on that lower level. I'm here to represent Him from a different level in a different place. Because I am from a different place. When He walks into the room, everything changes. Do you believe it? When He walks into the room, everything changes. And as a kingdom people, that reality can also be our reality. And this is why I've got a Bible verse for it. That's important, right? We read it 1 John 4:17. We read it a couple of weeks ago, and it's this: as He is, so are we in the world. As He is, so are we in the world. So if you believe that when He walks into the room, everything changes, then you can also believe that as you carry Him and as you live in the kingdom, that when you walk in a room, things can change because He's in you. And we're simply making room in everything. We're making room in everything that we give ourselves to. We're making room. I think about people like Jim Batten, and I think of Jerry France, who lead over in our family center. Can we just give a shout out to everybody over in the family center? Hello. We love you guys. And those two men, they rotate, but they're pastoring that room. They're leading that room. They both work their jobs during the week. They're both successful in the roles that they have outside of the church. And I know these two guys. And when they come into that room, they're pouring out the Spirit of the Lord. And when they go to their office and they do what they're doing there, they're pouring out the Spirit of the Lord wherever they go. They don't see their life through a lens of, oh, I do ministry on the weekend and then I do my secular work. They see what they're doing and what they're giving themselves to is kingdom in everything. Kingdom in everything. It's all kingdom. Now those two roles, they look very different, but they're the same purpose. They're the same purpose. There is no separation in purpose. They both carry the purpose and the promise of Him. And they're making room in everything for His purpose. How many want to make room for everything that you do for the purposes of heaven? We could also call this idea seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God. If the kingdom is the priority, if the kingdom is what's being sought after first, then I literally am bringing Him everywhere I go. And if I'm bringing Him every place that I go, then there is no place off limits. I think for too long we've thought that He's off limits in certain places. But the truth is, He is not off limits to a kingdom person. He's never off limits. There's no place that is off limits to Him. Can we say that out loud together? There's no place off limits. There is no place. Church, we're talking about a way of life where there is no place, there is no time of the day or night that is off limits. There's never a moment that's off limits to Him. There's no place, there's no time off limits to His activity in and through my life. And when I live like that, what happens? What happens when we have a mindset like that? What happens is that life flows. What happens is that the Spirit of God flows all the time, because then I become a place where He can dwell and be released all the time. It means that seemingly insignificant moments become significant. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those moments where it seems like an insignificant moment, but I'm there and I'm present to what my Father is doing. And because I'm present to that, it becomes significant. If I'm not staring at my phone, that's a sermon for another day. And I have to actually preach it to myself more before I preach it to you. I realized that the other day. I'm like, what do I do in a lot of spare moments when I'm out and about? If I'm waiting on something or I'm doing something, what do? Oftentimes, I grab my phone. I catch up. But at the same time, when I'm doing that, I'm missing everything around me. I can't go there right now on that. I'm not ready for it. I need to be a little ahead of people before I preach that one. My friends will vouch for me that I need work on that. No, I realize it. What do we do? If I got a spare minute in the car, you know, at a stoplight, I like grab my phone. Look, what do I do? And when I'm waiting for my oil to be changed, I kind of grab my phone and said, there are people in the room waiting. What is God doing? I want to be in it. I want to be in it. I don't want anything to be off limits, and I want to be available, and I want to be ready for Him to be released through my life. So mundane moments become full of life. Insignificant moments become significant. And now there is purpose in everything. There's vision in everything that I do. When we see life this way, I'm no longer waiting for some place. I'm no longer waiting for there, because there is here. I'm not waiting to become this or to get that role or to do that. Those things will come. I'm alive for right now because He's alive in me. And I get to bring Him right now. I don't have to wait for that role or that promotion. I get to be who He says I am and who He is in the moment that I'm in. He asked us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's the prayer that he's answering. Church, I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't call us to pray a prayer that he doesn't answer. I want to assure you, that is the prayer he is answering. That is the prayer he is answering today. Much of the kingdom, just hit this, I'm still reviewing, believe it or not. Much of the kingdom is advanced overtly, right? It's obvious. It's open to see. You know, we talk about preaching the gospel, the bold proclamation of the gospel, or all the things we've kind of hit through the commission, laying on of hands and people getting healed and prophesying and, you know, all the stuff, casting out demons, making disciples, you know, supernatural signs and wonders. These are overt, obvious things, right? That Jesus actually calls us to. Because you know why? Jesus did overt ministry. Everywhere he went, everything that he did, he went to the villages and the cities, and he went to the people that were laid out sick before him, that were just begging to touch the hem of his garment. Right? He was with the people. He was doing these things out in the open. The point is, the gospel is overt. The gospel is overt. It's not a private gospel. It's very much public. It's very much public. Jesus invaded every realm of society. He invaded all of the places. He went where the people were. He wasn't secluded over in some little bubble. He went where the people were. He went where the people were. He went to them. He stretched out his hand to heal. He brought mercy. He represented the goodness of the Father. Guess what? He's inviting us to do the same. He's inviting us to do the same. Because he said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. In fact, I think they're going to put it up here, but if you have your Bibles, John 14:12 is one of the most surprising, honestly shocking, and wonderful verses, I believe, in all of Scripture. And it is this. Jesus says this. He says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Did you catch that? Come on. This is Jesus. He says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Isn't that a little shocking? I mean, really, Jesus? You're saying, I'm going to do the works that you do? And then you take it a step further and say, and greater works? Greater works than these will you do? That, I mean, when I read that on my own, if it wasn't Jesus, if I just heard somebody saying it, I'd almost believe that can't be true. Jesus said it though, guys. He said it. He said, greater works you're going to do. He's saying, because I'm going, the Holy Spirit is coming. Remember what we talked about last week? He said, it's actually to your advantage that I go, so the Spirit of God can come. Remember, he said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. And now he says, whoever believes, can you say whoever? Whoever believes will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will you do. Guys, this is such an invitation. You should be smiling right now at the invitation. Come on, give me a smile offering or something. I don't know. You look so serious. Come on. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus. Thank you, Katie. Yeah, this is the good news. It's an invitation. And the invitation has no limits. Greater things. Who's the invitation been given to? Whoever believes in me. Can you say whoever? Whoever. Point at somebody and say, you're a whoever. I mean, look them in the eyes. Come on. You are a whoever. You are a whoever. It doesn't say if you're a pastor, you're going to do greater works. It doesn't say if you're like an evangelist, then you're going to do these amazing works that are even greater. It doesn't say if you've been, you got to be a Christian for 10 years and then you're going to enter into the greater works. It doesn't say, hey, if you have lived 12 months perfect, then you are going to be able to do the works that I do. It doesn't say any of that. Guys, I want to tell you, he says you're going to do greater works for everyone who believes. Guys, this is not hype. I sound a little hyped. I can't help that. I just can't. I try and it just, I can't. This is not hype. This is not hype. This is Jesus' life. No, this is the Jesus life. This is normal Christianity. This is the B-I-B-L-E. This is not I said it last week, this is not a Pentecostal charismatic expression. This is the Word of God. This is life in Jesus. And I want to live it. And I want to live it more than I've been living it. And I want to see things that I've never seen that I know in my heart we are supposed to see. Church, there are things that we have not seen that I know that I'm supposed to be seeing. Do you believe that too? Do you just have that? You walk with that awareness of there are things that I know are supposed to be happening through my life. And Jesus, I want them to come. I want them to come. I'm not standing here as this huge miracle worker before you today. I'm standing here with you saying, there's more. I'm telling you, there is more. There's more. There is more. These guys, they want me to teach about this stuff. I got to keep going. I got to keep going. Jesus showed us what one person full of the Spirit could do. What would happen when millions of people got filled with the Spirit? What would happen when the church of Jesus Christ got filled with the Holy Spirit and decided to go and decided to be the witnesses that he demonstrated for them to be? What would happen? Jesus was one man. What happens when the whole church gets full of the Holy Spirit and we go? What will happen? I want to tell you what will happen. Greater things will happen. Just do the math. Just do the math. Greater things are supposed to be happening. Greater things are supposed to be happening. He wasn't just meaning witnessing through words. He wasn't just meaning like, hey, go knock on doors and give tracts, which is great, and we should do that. He wasn't just saying like, talk about it. He was saying, be a demonstration. Remember, because the kingdom isn't just in talk, it's in power. It's a demonstration. It's to be through demonstration. He wasn't just meaning those ways. He was equally meaning signs and wonders. He was equally meaning the prophetic. He was equally meaning the miraculous. He was equally meaning loving your neighbor. I just can't. That was one thing I was going to teach today, but maybe another day. I want to teach that one because that's a good word right there. He comes through loving your neighbors. I love these people. San, you are the best. He's showing us the overt representation of the Father doing the stuff. Just point somebody and say, let's do this stuff. Let's do this stuff. Just do this stuff. Church, this greater things call is an invitation to more, and it's an invitation to dream, and it's an invitation to get out of our current boxes into an all-in life. An all-in adventure. Remember, he didn't come and pay to have a bored or boring church. I've said it every week. This was to be an all-in adventure. When we walk with Jesus and we're full of the power and full of the Spirit, we get to walk into greater things. Because we were made to do greater things. We were made to do significant things. extraordinary things right in the middle of ordinary. I want to say that again. To do extraordinary things right in the middle of ordinary. Why? Because he is in us. Because he's in us. The church that lives this reality, they see God is big and the devil is small. Church, we cannot dumb this down. It's his intention that we be a demonstration of the kingdom of God. It's his intention that we be a living demonstration of the kingdom of God. Okay, so that's all review. I'm sorry you all had to leave, go serve in children's ministry, but here's what I feel like he's saying this morning. In all that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, at the center of this whole idea of being a living demonstration, at the center of us living out the Great Commission, at the center of a life of miracles, at the center of being the salt of the earth or the light of the world, you know, a light on a hill, at the center of being filled with the Spirit of God, at the very heart of it all is this. Hear me on this. Jesus lived a laid down life. Jesus lived a laid down life. He lived his life surrendered. He lived his life connected to the Father. He lived a life that was laid down fully to the fullest measure. He lived by every word that came from his Father's mouth. He didn't even live by bread alone. He lived by every word that his Father would say. That was his life. John 5:19, so powerful what he says. He says the Son can do nothing of his own accord. Don't let it be a Sunday school verse to you. He says a son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Verse 30, jump down. He says, I can do nothing on my own. Can you believe that Jesus said that? He said, I can do nothing on my own. I can do nothing on my own. I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In other words, I'm just here representing my Father. And I'm representing my Father in every arena of life. And the only way I can do it is to lay down my life. Church, Jesus was fully God and fully man. I want us to get this. And yet he chose to live on this earth with the limitations of man. Hear me on this. This is really important. He did this to give us an example that could be followed. I think everybody's leaving to go serve. I'm getting afraid. No, I'm not. Listen, if he lived his life here as only God, then I'd spend my life saying, oh, well, that was God. I can't do that. That was Jesus. Because I could never walk and follow. Are you hearing me on this? Fully God, fully man, but he chose to live life as a man with the limitations of a man, saying, I can do nothing. How do we know it? He says, I can do nothing. On my own. Think about it. I can do nothing on my own. Why? So he could live a life that we could follow. So we could live a life after him, following him. When I see Jesus living how he lived as a man, when he laid down his life following his Father, doing nothing on his own except what his Father said, except what his Father was doing, then now I'm compelled to follow him. I'm compelled to do whatever I need to do to position myself to follow his laid down life, his surrendered example. John chapter 10, the Passion Translation says it like this. He says, I freely give my own life. I surrender my own life. And no one has the power to take it back from me. He says, I have the authority to lay it down and the power to take it back up again. This is the destiny my Father has set before me. Church, he chose to lay his life down. That should be worthy of an amen this morning. He chose to lay his life down all the way to a cross. All the way to the cross. He could have said, no way, I'm not doing it. He could have knocked all the guards and the soldiers out if he wanted to. He could have called down fire from heaven. But he chose surrender. He chose surrender. He chose surrender. And now I am compelled to follow his life of surrender. He chose to lay his life down. Everything comes back to Jesus. Everything comes back to looking at him, following him, because he is the perfect theology. It comes back to him. He's the example. And like Jesus, we, church, have been given a beautiful gift, and it's called choice. We've been given the gift to choose. You've been given a gift to choose. You can choose what you do with your life. I can choose what I do with my life. We get to choose the destiny that's before us, that our Father has laid out for us. We can choose to listen and follow, or we can choose to live on our own. But it comes down to this. Am I going to live for me, or am I going to live for him? It's as simple as that today. Am I going to be all in? Am I going to be all in? Am I going to just give a part of me? Or am I going to open myself wide open to all the expressions in my life and follow him? I've been praying today, you guys, and yesterday and the day, but all week, I've just been praying for the Father's heart for us today. And I could have gone 100 ways. I was going to talk about discipleship and loving your neighbor and all of it. I planned all this other stuff, but I believe that before we can move on and actually do what we've talked about in the last couple weeks, before we can actually be a living demonstration, church, I believe he's calling for a fresh surrender. I believe he's calling not just for a fresh surrender. I believe he's calling the church for a total surrender. A total surrender. And I believe for us to walk into the promised land as individuals, into the inheritance that is before us, before we can walk into the fullness that awaits us, the destiny that is before us, it is going to take a laying down like never before. It is going to take a surrender like we have never known. It's going to take a fresh surrendering of everything. And I mean everything. Where we don't live for ourselves anymore. Can we even imagine a life like that? Where it's not what I want, but it's what he wants. No, I'm serious. Let this sink into you. I believe the Lord's on this. Where it's not my will, but it's actually his will. Where it's not about my comfort, but it's about his pleasure. It's about what he wants. It's not about me being uncomfortable in a situation. It's about him being pleased. Come on. It's not about my insecurities. It's about his power manifested in me. Where it's not about what will they think. It's about what does he think. Come on. It's not about what they think. What do they think about me? What do they think? No. What does my Father think? What is he thinking about this right now? I've been thinking about what everybody thinks so much that I forget what matters. And what matters is, what does he think? Charity, you can come play. I don't know where you are. It's not about that. It's not about she needs to play. It's not about what they think. It's about what he will think. It's not about what I see. It's about what does he see. Come on. It's not about what am I doing. It's about what is he doing. Because then I do what he's doing. It's not about what's safe. I don't know what's happening to me. Some of you need to respond and just come and lay your life down right at the front of this room right now. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I believe right now the Lord is moving on people. And some of you, it's a fresh laying down this morning. There's a fresh laying down. I hear him calling. I hear him calling. It's not about what is safe anymore. It's about what has he said for my life? What has he said? What has he said? I hear him calling. Church, he's calling for a fresh surrender this morning. He's looking for a laid down people. Guys, we're going to see breakthroughs. We're going to see healing. We're going to see wholeness in our city. We're going to disciple the city, I believe. We're going to see an outpouring like we never could imagine. But it is going to come through a laid down people. It's going to come through a laid down people who are ready to live for the purposes of heaven full time. Full time. Full time. A full time laying down. A full time saying, I'm laying my dreams. I'm laying my hopes. I'm laying it all down. It's going to come through people who are saying, I'm ready to let go. Ready to let go of fear. I'm ready to let go of pride. I'm ready to let go of prestige. I'm ready to let go of the pursuit of fortune. I'm ready to let go of what has been and what I've known to walk with you right now in every day. Come on. Church, we gotta let go. We gotta let go. We gotta let go of what was. What you've known your life to be. I heard this line, what's gotten us here won't get us to where we're going. And I believe we build on things from the past. But I believe the Lord is asking for a whole new thing from the church because he is doing a whole new thing on the earth. Unlike what we've ever seen. And he's looking for laid down people that would say, I want to be a living demonstration of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me this morning?